This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, no, that'll still be a priority. You know, for me, on our exit meetings at the end of last season, you know, I told a lot of the guys in terms of future, if it was contracts or coming back, anything like that, you know, the important thing is I got to get with our current and new, you know, the new coaching staff and kind of see how the different players fit based on what scheme we're going to be running. So we've been able to have those conversations. And I know Kyler is a guy that, you know, we want a part of this moving forward. So, you know, the time of that, I'm not sure how that all is going to work out, but that is a priority.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We got Brad Biggs in this morning, and that is the voice of the Bears general manager. That is Ryan Poles talking about, and it's a good point that we haven't talked enough about, I suppose, just how the current roster fits the current coaching staff. And, you know, it'll be very curious to see who's making some of these calls when it comes draft time. I like the idea that that we were told by the head coach, Ben Johnson, that they all watch tape together, that they've looked. He had a reaction from the defensive coordinator about how tough the tight end is, and everybody kind of ran with that for a while. It is really interesting to look at the Bears and think about what they did a year ago, where they're at right now as a team, and how this is going to change in terms of the things they're looking for in a draft. I've been asking these questions quite a bit, which is really, what does the defensive coordinator want his defense to look like? We know they're now going to use Jalen Johnson all over the field. We heard him talking about, I believe he used the term traveling with whomever the best receiver is on the opponent. When you look at the schedule, Brad, they play some really good receivers.
Yeah, and they'll do some of that.
Yeah.
But the idea that you're doing that all the time is inaccurate, because when your cornerback is following their receiver all over the place, in many instances you are tipping off pre-snap what coverage you're going to be in. And so that's why people get caught up in the Bears haven't been doing this well. You know one guy who, like I've talked with him about it in the past, rarely does it.
Vic Fangio.
Yep.
Pretty, yeah, very rarely.
Pretty good X's and O's.
Yeah, you think?
Defensive coordinator. Like, he's not bad, right? You know, so I would expect more man-to-man coverage from a Dennis Allen secondary. I think they'll be looking for length, but that's nothing new. Eberflus used to talk about getting length in some of the defenders and how that impacted the different positions and showed up on game film and that type of thing. They need help at edge rusher, and can they find it in this draft? We'll see, because you look at what they did rushing the passer a year ago, and I think everyone would agree Montez Sweat wasn't quite what they had hoped and wasn't what he probably saw it last season, but was playing through a variety of injuries, was available, okay, which is the first part of that, but he was able to battle through some injuries. I don't think he was near 100% for much of the year, but okay, if he's healthy this year and he's better, where's their pass rush at? Especially if they get a little bit better on the inside. I think it's above average right? Like, I'm trying to be realistic here. If you can add to that group and you get the right guy, maybe you then take the pass rush.
Would you take a pass rusher at 10, or is there not someone worthy of that?
I think you're going to consider a pass rusher at 10.
Yeah.
Like, I would.
Didn't they just bring somebody in, too?
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, they, part of their visit. It's not that that is any kind of clue.
Right, but they need more options. I think they need upgrades in talent and depth on the defensive line.
Yeah,
and I think you would say the same thing about the offensive line.
And forgive me, but what is Andrew Billings? What is the thought process on him?
You're hoping he'll be healthy, right?
Okay.
And he's the
only guy they have that really is that big body in the middle until they got Grady Jackson, right?
Well, Jervon Dexter's I thought he was okay last year. He got a little bit better. Now, listen. Jervon Dexter's seen what some of these interior defensive linemen have got. You look at what Milton Williams got paid after a playoff run with the Eagles and a Super Bowl championship, and he is set for life now with generational wealth for the Milton Williams family. Like, Dexter's seen that, and he's understanding of year three being huge for him as you look at his future. So whatever the best is that you're going to get out of Jervon Dexter, I would sure hope it's on the field in 2025 for the Chicago Bears.
Well, the timing of it would suggest that it's the right time for him to make his move, if indeed he's got to move in.
So they've got some guys there, but you need more, right? You want to be able to play them in waves. You want to keep them fresh. They were horrendous trying to stop the run last season. That was terrible. How you go from being number one in the league against the run to god awful just like that is really amazing to me. But I think part of my amazement is that maybe I didn't completely appreciate Justin Jones when he was a member of the interior of the line there and he was playing next to Andrew Billings. You kind of almost had two nose tackles, so you weren't getting that pass rush that you would like and that consistent pressure in the middle of the pocket. But boy, did they play the run at a high level.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to me, when I look at the Bears, if I was just saying needs, it would all be on the line of scrimmage still, because a lot of the moves that they've made to improve in the offseason, and they signed, you know, five starters right away. I don't know if that's stopgap or long term or. You know what I mean?
I think that's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
It's difficult.
You get needs on the line.
Yeah.
I look at running back, and that's probably more need than want. I look at safety, and that's kind of straddling the line between need and want. And I've gotten a lot of questions from folks over the past month plus about that safety position. And the first thing, my natural instinct, my response is like, hey, let's consider positional value here.
Well, that's
and look at some of these other situations. And they've got, you know, Elijah Hicks is there. And you can go out and find a guy that you can plug in at the safety position. You need to get better near the line of scrimmage before you start worrying about finding your Swiss Army knife in the back end of the secondary that can do a whole lot of different things to be a matchup problem for offensive coordinators.
What style of safety does the defensive coordinator like?
I think ultimately you're looking for the unicorn guy is the guy with the range, right? Yeah. Is the guy that can really be impactful in that pass game. Like finding the thumper that can come down in the box and help your run defense. Like those guys are easy to locate. Brisker does a nice job of that. So I just safety, they will come out of this draft with a safety.
Yes.
It might even happen in the first 2 days, which would be the first three rounds. but I don't think we need to.
Here's the thing. I believe it was Philadelphia. They win the Super Bowl, and then they immediately sign a running back who's a great running back and a linebacker who's a great linebacker. These are not premium positions, but maybe those are the best guys at those positions. So you don't have to only think about premium positions. If you can get a guy who can be in the top five in the league at a position, you need him on your team.
Oh, there's plenty of places the Bears could upgrade right
yes.
now. Like, you look at it and you say, well, what are the few positions on that team right now that they couldn't use an upgrade at?
Right.
And that list is shorter than I think most people think. And the Eagles were able to operate that way.
Because they had the tackle, and they
just keep reloading. Like, what are the Eagles going to do with the 32nd pick this year? They'll probably, you know, find some defensive lineman that makes Milton Williams leaving in free agency like, oh, well, yeah, you know, Milton was good while he was here. And oh, by the way, they'll get a compensatory pick in 2026 on account of that as well. And they just – and Howie Roseman just
keeps
kind of
reloading.
Reloading.
That's the way to do it. Like, you know, whenever you feel like you don't need a defensive lineman, grab one. And that's why I really think, while it's good that the Bears have upgraded on the line of scrimmage, that is far from a job
well,
that's
you,
over.
And you can't just build your lines through free agency and the trade market. It wasn't all free agency, like the trade market was involved here as well. Like, if they are telling you, hey, we are prioritizing building this from the inside out, then you've got to use some considerable draft capital. And that's not just this year. Like, that's next year and the year after.
You know, we just went through this thing where they're trying to get rid of the so-called tush push, which is really kind of a quarterback sneak, and it's really like an overloaded quarterback sneak because they got a quarterback that is great at it. But they also had a center who you thought was the key to it, who then retired, but they had already drafted a guy, and they had another guy come in who was just as good at it. It's not like the tush push took a step back because somebody retired. You know what I'm saying? You have to be prepared for guys eventually leaving.
Or guys being hurt.
Frankly, they've got a lot of guys that have some age on them that are good players that they've brought in, but how much faith do you have in that lasting beyond the next couple of years tops? You got to start reloading before you even.
You can't take a step back, look at it, and say, okay, well, this is good because what you have here are, with the exception of Dahlman, kind of shorter term fixes. Now maybe. Yes. I'll be open-minded about Jonah Jackson, okay? He's got an opportunity to be more than a short-term fix. But I think you got to say, hey, I got to see it first, though.
Yeah.
They've taken a leap of faith, and because of the head coach Ben Johnson's relationship with the guy, I think you trust in that. But
Dahlman is the right age. Dahlman's like 25, 26 years old.
Yeah, he's going into year five.
Yeah, he's. Should get his prime.
That's exactly what they bought. That's why they made him the second highest paid center in the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he hit the market at the right time.
He's probably not skill wise the second best player, but he's good.
And I was having a conversation with a guy who's real measured, and always has interesting thoughts. And I said, you know, look, Dahlman's number two now in center pay. Like, he's not the second best center in the league. And his reply was, you know what? He's like, our pro department had some really high marks on him. Like, they really liked him. So I don't feel like it's a big overpay for what they gave Dahlman, and I believe they got the real deal with him, but there's more work to be done
for
that offensive line to be anywhere near of what Ben Johnson was accustomed to working with week in and week out in Detroit.
Yeah, and they sure don't have the great tackle that they have in Detroit. Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Tony is in Wonder Lake. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
You know, everybody's talking about the pass rush, and although vitally important, you know, as little as 5 years ago, the Bears had a decent, if not a stout, running defense. And in my opinion, the three technique is more important than a pass rush, because if you can't slightly even diminish the effect of a play-action pass, it affects your blitz packaging. You know, put the team in a position, the opposing team in a position where you know they have to pass. If they can't shore up the run defense, in my opinion, that's where it all starts. I'd like to hear your comments. Have a great day, guys.
I think everything, you always talk about starting with having to defend the run. The three technique, they've got Grady Jarrett, who, you know, we mentioned short-term fixes.
Yeah.
He's a short-term fix for you. At defensive tackle, not too long ago, you looked at it and you said Grady Jarrett is the best three technique in the National Football League, not named Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
That was who he was. I don't, you know, he's not at that level anymore with this mileage on him, but he was super productive for the Falcons last year, coming off an ACL the year prior. Atlanta probably played him more snaps than the Falcons should have. I think they'll be mindful of that with the depth that the Bears have and have him out there for important key downs. Why are you paying that guy the money you're paying him? For money downs. You're paying him for third down. You're paying him for red zone. You're paying him for fourth quarter action. So I think they got a three technique there that again, a short-term fix. And I would imagine the run defense will be better, provided Andrew Billings is healthy.
Yeah, and if Jared is there and Billings is there, would that help Tremaine Edmonds be a better player?
Yeah,
I think you've got guys in front of him, because he wasn't very good last year.
Yeah, I think the linebackers, your off the ball linebackers are only going to be as good as
the
your defensive linemen allow them to be, right?
That's right.
Like, you know, how do they have a clean path to the ball?
Yeah.
You know, how often do they have to shed and make a play? Because they've got to shed and make a play. I mean, that's part of the position, but the more opportunities they have to be unimpeded or unobstructed to the ball, the more impactful they're going to look, the more TFLs they're going to have, the more plays at the line of scrimmage they're going to make.
Do they need a linebacker?
Yeah, I think you've got to
– out of the draft.
I'm not
saying
– somehow, some way, right?
Yeah.
You know, in a perfect world, you find another Jack Sanborn, a guy that you don't use a draft pick on, but you evaluate and you kind of recruit as an undrafted free agent to come in and have an opportunity to make your football team, participate on special teams, and then see what you can do.
He was a good special teams player. He was. I had a friend who was furious that he's let go, and I was like, you know,
what were you going to pay him?
Well, the problem is, like, you know, he doesn't run great, and you don't get paid at that position if you don't run great, you know. Now, you don't want a guy like, you know, Edmonds is a guy that has all the talent in the world, all the physical talent, but has he improved much since he's been in the league? So
you kind of
need to find
Edmonds,
middle ground there.
Yeah, listen, they paid Edmonds a lot of money.
Yes.
And I don't know that he's measured up to it yet, but one of the things, if you do look at their defensive statistics from last season, is they were really good, believe it or not, in the red zone as a defense. And, you know, you take a step back and you say, well, you know, why is that? What led them to be successful? One element of it is that Edmonds in the middle of the field there is a really difficult guy when it's compacted down near the end zone to throw over, around, or like that's part of his game because of that 6'5", 260, super long arms, and he can move.
Yeah.
And he can move. So, let's be open-minded about what he looks like in this new scheme under Dennis Allen.
All right, we've got John Heyman next. We're going to talk to John about what's going on with the Cubs, what moves are available to them if they need to upgrade their pitching staff, how quickly they need to get to something like that if they do it, and is the timing wrong to make a quick move now?